Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for February 22, 2024, by staff report. Martin County Sheriff honors 7-year-old for bravery during dog attack. Mason Belcher, age 7, recently earned a bravery award from Sheriff Brad Ingram in Martin County. During a reported dog attack in his yard, Mason reportedly helped his younger siblings to safety. He then held pressure on his grandfather's wounds until EMS arrived. For his courage and quick action, Mason was presented with a certificate of bravery from Stanton School Resource Officer and Martin County Sheriff's Office. We are proud of Mason for listening, being a leader and a hero in a stressful situation, Sheriff Ingram stated on social media. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. YWLA students and their community win Dallas Cowboys Community Captain Competition, February 21, 2024, by Jonathan Harshman. A team of students from Young Women's Leadership Academy, YWLA, in Midland earned a lot more than touchdowns during their recent trip to the Star in Frisco. The YWLA team huddled up, called the winning play, and emerged victorious at the Dallas Cowboys Community Captain Competition, and that also means their community back at home won too. The Cowboys Community Captain Competition is part of a new partnership between the Cowboys and Chevron that is encouraging teamwork between Permian Basin students and nonprofits on service projects that benefit their communities. As a part of the initiative, teams of students from Midland and Odessa partnered with a local nonprofit to develop proposals for community service projects. Student teams were participants in the Abel Hanger Foundation's Students in Philanthropy SIP program. The YWLA team was one of 5 student teams whose proposal advanced to the finals of the Cowboys Community Captain Competition. On November 28th, the teams pitched their community service project ideas to a panel of judges from the Cowboys, Chevron, and Abel Hanger Foundation at the Star in Frisco. On February 1st, we visited the YWLA SIP class to surprise them with the news that their team earned the title of Dallas Cowboys Community Captain. As part of their reward, Chevron donated $10,000 toward the project they plan to carry out, which is to renovate and rehabilitate facilities used by the Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center's MCRC equine programs, including its hippotherapy therapy on horseback programs. Legendary Cowboys safety Darren Woodson appeared on video to help share the news. On April 19th, Woodson will join YWLA students and other volunteers from the Cowboys and Chevron to implement the YWLA team's project at the MCRC Equine Barn. The YWLA was ecstatic to announce their victory in Frisco. Our girls have top-notch presentation skills, and our nonprofit partner, Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center, is amazing, the group stated on Facebook, offering a special shout-out to SIP teacher Miss Pinter and our game changers who threw a Hail Mary and won it all. Teamwork. Jonathan Harshman is a public and government affairs advisor for Chevron's Mid-Continent Business Unit. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. Odessa parents launch the Avery Foundation after losing daughter to cancer, February 20th, 2024, by staff report. Odessa parents turned pain into purpose after losing their 5-year-old daughter to cancer. After their daughter Avery passed away in August 2020, Erica and Avimale Quinones turned immense tragedy into an inspiring journey of helping other children facing similar health challenges, the City of Odessa reports. To date, the Avery Foundation has helped over 12 children thanks to the generosity of donors. Avery was diagnosed with bone cancer in 2020, and she passed away the same year. While she battled her illness, her parents set up a GoFundMe to support medical expenses, but it wasn't easy. While Erica continued working at a pharmacy, the pandemic had rendered Avimale unemployed. Thousands of compassionate people supported the Quinones' difficult journey. Now they are trying to return the favor by supporting other struggling families with their fledgling foundation. With a commitment to expanding their reach, the Quinones family organizes fundraising activities, ensuring the legacy of a little girl who embodied dedication and resilience continues to impact lives, said officials with City of Odessa, which first reported on this story. Their sole objective is to give back to the community, acknowledging that the parents and families of children battling illness often endure severe economic hardships. To learn more about the Avery Foundation and to make a donation, visit its website and its Facebook page. Bush Family Home offers up fun activities for spring break, including croquet, February 21st, 2024, by staff report. Looking for some fun spring break activities? No problem. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site has you covered with activities like Flat George and croquet days. Here's how to participate in Flat George. Stop by the Visitor Center office on or after March 11th to pick up a coloring sheet of either George W. Bush or his childhood dog, Mark. Then have your child jazz him up with their artistic talents and take him around town snapping pictures at historical sites related to the Bush family. A list of these will be given by staff when you pick up your Flat George or Flat Mark. Once you have traveled around town to visit at least six of the Bush sites, submit your child's name and your contact information, photos of your child with their colored Flat George or Mark at each location, along with a list of the sites your child visited, in an email to bushfamilyhome@thc.texas.gov. Once they have confirmed that your child completed the activity, they will respond so you can stop by their office for your child to choose a prize. Here's how to participate in croquet days. Stop by on March 14th or March 16th and join the staff and the public in a day of croquet, one of George W.'s favorite childhood games. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site is one of the 38 sites run by the Texas Historical Commission. Normal operating hours for the home are Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The last tour begins at 4:15 p.m. To learn more about the site or the spring break activities, go to visit bushfamilyhome.com or become friends on Facebook at facebook.com/Bush Family Home. You can also call 432-685-1112 or write bushfamilyhome@thc.texas.gov. This article was provided by the Bush Family Home State Historic Site. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. RockHounds release lineup of ballpark promotions ahead of 52nd season, February 20th, 2024, by staff report. The Midland RockHounds released its lineup of promotions for its 52nd franchise season, a 69-game schedule jam-packed with theme nights, giveaways, and daily specials. The RockHounds home opener is Tuesday, April 9th, and this year Momentum Bank Ballpark will offer 14 fireworks shows, 17 giveaway item games, 8 specialty jerseys, 6 Culpinites, and much more. Among the giveaways will be a Lawrence Butler bobblehead doll, which will be distributed at the ballpark on June 21st. Butler started his 2023 season in Midland and made his MLB debut in Oakland on August 11th. Theme nights this season include Star Wars, Marvel's Defenders of the Diamond, Christmas in July, and Pirates and Princesses. Bark in the Park makes its return for 3 nights early in the season, along with safety awareness days for schools. 3 consecutive firework nights will accompany the annual Independence Day celebration from July 4th through the 6th. In December, the RockHounds announced that ConocoPhillips is now the team's presenting sponsor. We are pleased to announce an excellent 2024 promotional schedule, which our team has earnestly put together for the RockHounds fans, says RockHounds GM Shelley Hengy. This season's promo schedule offers a great deal of variety and fun for everyone. Our promotions include exciting theme nights, spectacular fireworks celebrations, and unique giveaways to be enjoyed by fans of all ages. We look forward to celebrating another great season of RockHounds baseball, quality family entertainment, and much in store for 2024 daily promotions. Tuesday, 2-for-1 tickets with a coupon from Baskin Robbins. Wednesday, half-price hot dogs. Thursday, discounted fountain drinks and alcoholic beverages. Friday, giveaways. First 1,000 fans, kids run the bases. Saturday, post-game fireworks show, theme nights. Sunday, 5 tickets for $25 with a coupon from Saturday's MRT, free umbrellas, first 250 fans, and ice cream scoop at the front gate. Kids run the bases. Full promotion breakdown, dates subject to change. Tuesday, April 9th, opening night, schedule magnet and t-shirt giveaway. Friday, April 12th, Western weekend, adult jersey giveaway. Saturday, April 13th, Western weekend, post-game fireworks. Tuesday, April 23rd, Safety Awareness Day. Friday, April 26th, Copa de la Diversión, scarf giveaway. Copa de la Diversión scarf giveaway. Saturday, April 27th, Copa de la Diversión postgame fireworks. Sunday, April 28th, Bark in the Park. Tuesday, May 7th, Safety Awareness Day. Wednesday, May 8th, Bark in the Park. Friday, May 10th, Cancer Awareness Weekend schedule poster giveaway. Saturday, May 11th, Cancer Awareness Weekend postgame fireworks. Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day wine glass giveaway. Wednesday, May 29th, Bark in the Park. Thursday, May 30th, Copa de la Diversión. Friday, May 31st, Island Getaway Weekend bucket hat giveaway. Saturday, June 1st, Island Getaway Weekend postgame fireworks. Tuesday, June 4th, Copa de la Diversión poster giveaway. Friday, June 7th, Malmo Oak Milkers Night presented by Oatly Kids Jersey giveaway. Saturday, June 8th, Star Wars Night postgame fireworks. Friday, June 21st, Lawrence Butler bobblehead giveaway. Saturday, June 22nd, Pirates and Princesses postgame fireworks. Thursday, July 4th, Independence Day celebration postgame fireworks. Friday, July 5th, Independence Day celebration postgame fireworks. Saturday, July 6th, Independence Day celebration, postgame fireworks. Friday, July 12th, Military Appreciation Weekend, fishing shirt giveaway. Saturday, July 13th, Military Appreciation Weekend, postgame fireworks. Friday, July 26th, Copa de la Diversión, Rocky Lowrider bobblehead giveaway. Saturday, July 27th, Christmas in July, postgame fireworks. Sunday, July 28th, Christmas in July, Christmas ornament giveaway. Friday, August 9th, Friday Night Lights, football jersey giveaway. Saturday, August 10th, Marvel's Defenders of the Diamond, postgame fireworks. Friday, August 23rd, Copa de la Diversión, t-shirt giveaway. Saturday, August 24th, First Responders Night, postgame fireworks. Friday, September 6th, cap giveaway. Saturday, September 7th, postgame fireworks. Sunday, September 8th, Fan Appreciation Day card set giveaway. Season tickets are on sale now and single game ticket sales begin on March 4th. For more information, call the Rockhounds front office at 432-520-2255 or visit MidlandRockhounds.org. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream.
A year after Jimmy Carter entered hospice care, advocates hope his endurance drives awareness. Since Jimmy Carter entered hospice care at his home in South Georgia 1 year ago, the former U.S. president has celebrated his 99th birthday, enjoyed tributes to his legacy, and lost his wife of 77 years. Rosalind Carter, who died in November, about 6 months after the Carter family disclosed her dementia diagnosis, lived only a few days under hospice supervision, with her frail husband at her bedside. Experts on end-of-life care say the Carters' different paths show the range of an oft-misunderstood service. Those advocates commend the Carter family for demonstrating the realities of aging, dementia, and death. They express hope that the attention spurs more Americans to seek out services intended to help patients and families in the latter stages of life. "It's been massive to have the Carters be so public," said Angela Novus, chief medical officer for the Hospice Foundation of America based in Washington. "It has shed hospice in a new light, and it's raised questions for people to learn more." The Carter family released a statement ahead of Sunday, the one-year anniversary of their announcement that the 39th president would forego future hospital stays and enter end-of-life care at home in Plains. "President Carter continues to be at home with his family," the statement said. "The family is pleased that his decision last year to enter hospice care has sparked so many family discussions across the country on an important subject." To be clear, the family has not confirmed whether Jimmy Carter remains in hospice care or has been discharged, as sometimes happens when even a frail patient's health stabilizes. Here is a look at hospice and the Carters' circumstances. "Hospice serves everyone, even the rich and powerful. Molly Gurian is vice president of Leading Age, a national network of more than 5,000 nonprofit elder care agencies. She described hospice as holistic care for someone who is trying to live the end of their life as fully as possible, but no longer seeks to cure for a terminal condition. "Hospice offers multiple practitioners for each patient. nurses, physicians, and social service professionals like chaplains and secular grief counselors. Home hospice features in-home visits, but not round-the-clock or even full-shift care. Initial eligibility requires a physician's certification of a terminal condition. With the expectation that a person will not live longer than 6 months, there are also disease-specific parameters. For-profit businesses or nonprofit agencies typically provide the care, the employee, and employ the providers. Medicare pays those agencies a per-day rate for each patient. There are 4 levels of care and daily rates. The concept was developed after World War II and has been part of the Medicare program since the early 1980s. Private insurance plans also typically cover hospice. In 2021, 1.9 million Medicare beneficiaries enrolled in hospice at a taxpayer cost of $23.1 billion. According to the Federal Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, MedPAC, almost half of Medicare patients who died that year did so under hospice care. Hospice is more than the morphine myth. Hospice can elicit images of someone doped up and bedridden, but it is not just providing enough morphine to make it through the end, Jurian said. Indeed, patients give up curative treatments and many medicines. Cancer patients no longer receive radiation or chemotherapy. Those with late-stage Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other degenerative neurological disease typically ditch cholesterol and blood pressure medications and eventually drugs that regulate their acute condition. But Novus and Jurian said treatment is case by case. Some agencies might allow someone with end-stage kidney disease to get dialysis or take regulatory medications. They simply have to absorb the cost because Medicare almost certainly does not pay separately for those treatments. Further, hospice does not necessarily mean foregoing treatment for certain complications that threaten comfort, antibiotics for a urinary tract infection or infected bedsores, for example. That said, patients or families may forego such treatments, especially in cases of end-stage neurological disease. Chip Carter, one of Jimmy and Rosalind Carter's 4 children, confirmed to the Washington Post that her mother was suffering from a severe urinary tract infection at the time of her hospice admission and death. In those cases, Novus explained, patients are administered pain management drugs. Jimmy Carter's endurance is not unusual. In 2021, the average stay for hospice patients who died was 92 days, MedPAC calculated. The median was 17 days, about 2 weeks longer than the time between when the Carters announced the former First Lady had entered hospice and when she died. About 10% of enrollees who die in hospice care stayed more than 264 days. Extended cases drive a majority of costs. In 2021, $13.6 billion of the overall $23 billion paid was for stays exceeding 180 days before death. Of that, $5 billion was for stays longer than a year. Patients are sometimes discharged from hospice if their condition stabilizes, especially if they have reached the 6-month mark in the program. In 2021, 17.2% of the patients were discharged. The MedPAC report to Congress noted that for-profit agencies have higher average length of stay than nonprofits and added that living patients' discharge rates raise questions about admission standards. Novus offered explanations. She said hospice has been seen an uptick in patients with dementia, conditions in which a patient can wax and wane for months or even years. Another factor, one she said could explain Jimmy Carter's endurance, is sheer grit. We cannot measure the human spirit, she said. With many conditions, somebody who wants to be here is going to stick around for a while. Advocates want changes and expansion. Medicare does not include a long-term care insurance provision. Sometimes the leading age and other advocates argue that U.S. needs, especially at the baby boomer generation ages. That kind of care, she said, would help patients and families absorb significant burdens of care that hospitals do not provide, and that hospice does not cover, or at least should not cover. A long-term care benefit, for example, could become a more common route of insured care in some dementia cases. Legislation has been introduced in Congress in recent sessions to create a long-term care plan under Medicare. But it is politically difficult, if not impossible, because it calls for an increase in payroll taxes to finance a new benefit. Separately, Jurian said, leading age would like Congress to increase hospice payment structures so more agencies might admit patients and still cover certain treatments they now typically forego. For example, she said, some cancer patients could ratchet down cancer treatments as part of pain management rather than give up treatment altogether and advance more rapidly to heavy drugs like morphine that eliminate quality of life. Jimmy Carter still offering lessons. Jurian said, the U.S. healthcare system and American society too often see just two choices for someone with a grave diagnosis, fighting or giving up. Hospice is not giving up, she said, even if it means accepting our mortality. Novus said Jimmy Carter has proven those distinctions with his public announcement, and in November his determination to attend Rosalind Carter's funeral, physically diminished, reclined in a wheelchair, his legs covered in a blanket. That was such an important moment, Novus said, for the world to see that what 99 looks like, even for a former president. He still has lessons for us. I think on some level he must be aware of what he's doing. Hospice is just a partner in that journey. But it's his journey.
FERC extends Tellurian's construction deadline for a massive driftwood project. The story was written by Amanda Drain. Tellurian said Friday that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission extended a construction deadline tied to the Houston Liquefied Natural Gas Company's Driftwood Project in Louisiana, smoothing the path forward as the company continues to hunt for equity partners for the project. FERC extended Driftwood's construction deadline by 3 years, giving it until April 2029 to complete construction at the site near Lake Charles. The company's stock jumped nearly 10% to 90 cents in Friday trading following the news. The extension, quote, gives them a longer lease on life, Ben Nolan, an energy analyst with Stifel, said. Quote, for Tellurian, there's no question this is helpful. Without it, there was no hope, end quote. The move, while good for Tellurian, also highlights a key difference between FERC and the Department of Energy, which has declined to approve deadline extensions for the long-term LNG projects, forcing them to reapply for export permits needed for the facilities to ship their product. The Biden administration also made the controversial decision to pause its permitting process last month. Tellurian has made only nominal progress on construction, meaning it will likely need the DOE to approve an extension of the 2026 launch date tied to the company's export permit, said Clark Williams Derry, energy finance analyst with the Institute of Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. Quote, there are a lot of regulatory steps that Driftwood still has to go through, he said. Tellurian is revamping its strategy after a series of financial challenges that preceded its termination of Sharif Suki, its co-founder and former chairman. The company has struggled over the past year to woo customers and equity partners for its marquee Driftwood LNG project, and in November warned investors about conditions that raise substantial doubt about its cash flow in the months ahead. Tellurian said earlier this month it was considering a sale of its gas production assets in East Texas and Louisiana, which were originally intended to support the Driftwood project. The company confirmed last month that it hired financial firm Lazard Incorporated as it explores new opportunities. Tellurian CEO Octavio Simoes said Friday in a statement that the company remains eager to launch the Driftwood project. Quote, "We have invested over $1 billion into Driftwood LNG's development. We have our approval to export and all applicable construction permits, and we are eager to provide the world with liquefied natural gas exports," he said. Diamondback Endeavor joined forces. The story was written by Bob Campbell of the Odessa American. The latest in Permian Basin oil company mergers is another whopper, the $26 billion acquisition of Endeavor Energy Resources by Diamondback Energy, which a Diamondback spokesman says will create a premier Permian independent operator. It follows during the past 4 months the $60 billion purchase of Pioneer Natural Resources by ExxonMobil, the $53 billion acquisition of the Hess Corporation by Chevron, and the $11 billion purchase of Crown Rock Incorporated by Occidental Petroleum. Noting that the headquarters of Endeavor, which has not been publicly traded, and Diamondback are adjacent to each other on North Marienfeld Street and West Texas Avenue in downtown Midland, Diamondback Chairman CEO Travis Stice said the new company, quote, "will have industry-leading depth and quality that will be converted into cash flow with the industry's lowest cost structure, creating a differentiated value proposition for our stockholders. This combination meets all the required criteria for a successful combination, sound industrial logic with tangible synergies, improved combined capital allocation, and significant near and long-term financial accretion," Stice said. "With this combination, Diamondback not only gets bigger, he gets better," end quote. Endeavor Board Chairman Autry C. Stevens, who founded the company in 1979, said Diamondback, quote, "is the right partner for Endeavor, our employees, families, and communities. Together, we will create value for shareholders and our other stakeholders," Stevens said. Endeavor President and CEO Lance Robertson said joining Diamondback, quote, "is a transformational opportunity for us. Our success up to this point is attributable to the dedication and hard work of Endeavor employees, and this announcement is recognition by Diamondback of the significant efforts from our team over the past 7 years, driving production growth, improving safety performance, and building a more sustainable company," Robertson said. "We look forward to working together to scale our combined business, unlock value for all of our stakeholders, and ensure that our new company is positioned for long-term success as we build the premier Permian-focused company in Midland," end quote. Guest speaker for PBPA. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. The Permian Basin Petroleum Association hosted Railroad Commission Chair Christy Craddock at its February membership luncheon. Her presentation focused on the rising number of challenges the agency faces from the federal government, from seeking primacy from the Environmental Protection Agency to permit Class 6 wells for carbon dioxide injection, to uncertainty around the federal dollars to be used for plugging wells under the Inflation Reduction Act. Craddock told the audience one of the biggest concerns is proposed methane emissions rules that have been finalized but not yet published in the Federal Register. She said Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been asked to file a lawsuit against the rules once they are published.
How to manage your child's screen time. For decades, the American Academy of Pediatrics, AAP, has been studying the effects screens and media have on children. It's natural for parents and caregivers to be concerned about how much screen time their children are getting, especially when digital screens are everywhere, even at school. Dr. Nisheen Aminuddin a Mayo Clinic pediatrician and member of the AAP, shares some recommendations to make it simple for families to manage their technology use. Quote, "The key thing that I would want all parents to know is that screens aren't all good or all bad. A lot of this depends on how you use screens," end quote, says Emmy Newton. Emmy Newton says there's no evidence that television shows or screen time for young kids have any benefit. Therefore, it's best to try to avoid screen time for kids under 2 years old, with the exception of video chatting with grandparents or other relatives. Quote, "For kids who are between 2 and 5 years of age, no more than about 1 hour of high-quality educational content, ideally with little to no commercial time," end quote, she says. For kids 5 and older, it's a little more nuanced. Quote, "Once kids are 5 years and older, and they're in school, we used to say no more than 2 hours of screen time a day of non-educational content. But we understand that that's hard to do. And then oftentimes kids are using screens for really good reasons, for doing schoolwork. So really what we've started to say is let's make sure it is not taking the place of other important activities, whether that's schoolwork or physical activity, and certainly sleep," end quote, says Emmy Newton. Quote, "There is a potentially a benefit for children in the preschool age with high-quality educational content. There are wonderful shows that have been around for decades that are really focused on teaching kids," end quote, she says. Emmy Newton says a little bit of high-quality television can help kids learn about other people and cultures. Quote, "There was actually a study done, and as much as we talk about how we don't want to spend a lot of time in front of screens, there is a benefit. There can be diversity enhancement. When children see children of other backgrounds playing with each other, they're actually more likely to say, when shown a group of pictures, that they might want to play with a child of a different background from what they might be used to or from their own background," end quote, says Emmy Newton. One of the resources Emmy Newton recommends for finding quality media content is Common Sense Media. It's a resource that includes ratings and reviews of TV shows, movies, video games, podcasts, and more. Try a cholesterol-lowering diet for heart health. With those New Year's resolutions behind us, some people may have reverted to less healthy ways of eating. Heart Month is a great way to remind yourself why a healthy diet is important for more than just your waistline. Quote, "What you eat and drink affects your cholesterol and triglyceride levels. And if you have high cholesterol or triglyceride levels, your healthcare team may recommend following a cholesterol-lowering diet," end quote, says Ripu Singh, MD, a cardiologist at Mayo Clinic Health System in Manikato and Waseca. High cholesterol could cause your heart arteries to harden, a condition called atherosclerosis, which could lead to coronary artery disease. In addition, hardened arteries may allow a coating called plaque to build up and partially block your arteries. Blocked arteries can lead to low blood flow in the heart and chest pain. What are triglycerides and cholesterol? Triglycerides and cholesterol are types of lipids or fats which circulate in your blood. Triglycerides store unused calories and provide your body with energy. Cholesterol is used to build cells and certain hormones. Cholesterol is made mainly by the liver, but can also enter your body in the foods you eat that contain animal fat. Foods that come from animals or contain animal fat include meat, egg yolks, lard, and dairy products. The type and amount of fat you eat can influence how much cholesterol your body makes. Your body makes triglycerides from excess calories, regardless of the calorie source, such as fat, protein, or carbohydrates. Triglycerides also are made from excess sugar and alcohol. High triglyceride levels are a risk factor for heart disease. Lifestyle choices for improving your levels. Your healthcare team may recommend some of these lifestyle changes to improve your blood cholesterol levels and lower your triglyceride level. Eat a plant-based diet. Eat more high-fiber foods from plants. Choose 100% whole grains, whole fruits, and vegetables. Exercise regularly. Get to and stay at a healthy body weight. Limit or avoid trans fats. Trans fats can raise blood cholesterol. Limit your intake of high cholesterol foods. Reduce consumption of foods like egg yolks, organ meats, animal fat, and high-fat dairy. Lower your total fat intake. All oils and fats are high in calories. Lower your saturated fat intake. Saturated fat can raise blood cholesterol. Replace saturated fats with unsaturated fats. Unsaturated fats can lower your blood cholesterol levels. Monounsaturated fats are preferred. Polyunsaturated fats are okay. Quote, you can still enjoy foods you love, but you should prioritize a heart-healthy diet and eat less healthy foods in moderation. Small changes can make a big impact in reducing your risk of heart disease, end quote, says Singh. Small changes can lead to heart health. Switching from an unhealthy diet and sedentary lifestyle to eating healthy and exercise can be daunting. In this expert alert, Juan Cardenas Rosales, MD, an internal medicine physician and medical director of the International Medicine Practice at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, shares small steps and one big one that can lead to a heart-healthy life. Taking the first step can be difficult, whether trying to eat a nutritious diet, exercise more, or both, Cardenas says. That is in part because people often set high expectations for themselves and try to reach them immediately, rather than approaching it as a process. Quote, it is better to make these changes little by little and stay consistent than to make a sudden change that is difficult to maintain, end quote, Cardenas explains. Quote, for example, don't start exercising 30 minutes a day 5 times a week, but start with 10 minutes every third day. Also, adjust your diet and each day lower your sugar consumption a little, your fat consumption, your salt, and so on, little by little. Start with small steps, but keep moving forward, end quote. Cardenas recommends gradually substituting healthier choices into your diet, such as fish, chicken, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and whole grains. Quote, drinking a lot of water is also important, at least 2 liters of water a day, and staying away from processed foods that are very high in certain types of harmful fats like trans fats, end quote, Cardenas says. There is one big change that Cardenas recommends making immediately. Stop smoking and avoid secondhand smoke, exposure to other people's smoke. Quote, the moment one stops smoking, the risk of cardiovascular disease decreases, end quote, he says. Study finds seniors enjoy virtual reality. Retired Army Colonel Farrell Patrick taught computer science at West Point during the 1970s and then at two private universities through the 1990s, so he isn't surprised by the progress technology has made over the decades. But when the 91-year-old got his first virtual reality experience recently, he was stunned. Sitting in a conference room at John Knox Village, a suburban Fort Lauderdale, Florida retirement community, Patrick sat up straight as his eyes and ears experienced what it would be like to be in a Navy fighter jet flying off the Florida coast. Quote, oh my God, that's beautiful, end quote, he blurted before the VR program brought the jet in for a landing on an aircraft carrier. John Knox Village was one of 17 senior communities around the country that participated in a recently published Stanford University study that found that large majorities of 245 participants between 65 and 103 years old enjoyed virtual reality, improving both their emotions and their interactions with staff. The study is part of a larger effort to adapt VR so it can be beneficial to seniors' health and emotional well-being and help lessen the impact dementia has on some of them. During the testing, seniors picked from 7-minute virtual experiences such as parachuting, riding in a tank, watching stage performances, playing with puppies and kittens, or visiting places like Paris or Egypt. The participants wore headsets that gave them 360-degree views and sounds, making it seem like they had been all but dropped into the actual experience. Quote, it brought back memories of my travels and brought back memories of my experience growing up on a farm, end quote, said Terry Colley, a former public relations director at the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C., of his 2022 experience. Colley, 76, liked swiveling in a chair to get a panoramic view. Quote, that was kind of amazing, end quote. Ann Shelby, a 79-year-old retired counselor and artist, found VR, quote, stimulated virtually every area of my brain, all of the senses, end quote. Quote, I particularly enjoyed the ones dealing with pets because I have a cat and I've had pets most of my life, end quote, she said. Stanford's peer-reviewed study working with the company Mind Immersive found that almost 80% of seniors reported having a more positive attitude after their VR session, and almost 60% said they felt less isolated socially. The enjoyment lessened somewhat for older respondents whose sight and hearing had deteriorated. Those who found VR less enjoyable were also more likely to dislike technology in general. In addition, almost 75% of caregivers said residents' moods improved after using VR. More than 80% of residents and almost 95% caregivers said talking about their VR experience enhanced their relationships with each other. Quote, for the majority of our respondents, it was their first time using virtual reality. They enjoyed it. They were likely to recommend it to others, and they looked forward to doing it again, end quote, said Ryan Moore, a Stanford doctoral candidate who helped lead the research. quote, "We are proving VR to be a tool that really does help with the well-being of our elders," end quote, said Chris Brickler, Mind's CEO and co-founder. The Texas-based company is one of a handful that specializes in virtual reality for seniors. Quote, "It is far different than a two-dimensional television or an iPad," end quote. Separate from the study, John Knox Village uses virtual reality in its unit that houses seniors who have Alzheimer's disease and other dementia. It helps spur memories that lead to conversations with caregivers. Quote, "It is like they come back to life when they tell their story," end quote, said Hannah Salem, the facility's Meaningful Life coordinator. She said that with others who don't talk much perk up when given a VR experience putting them in nature. Quote, "They'll start laughing and saying, 'Ooh, I'm going to catch the butterflies,'" end quote, Salem said. Catching butterflies is also part of a game Mind developed that helps seniors enhance their mobility and flexibility as they stand and reach for objects. Quote, "It's more fun for these seniors to come in and catch butterflies and work on shoulder rehab than it is to go pick up a weight," end quote, Brickler said. Brickler said his company's systems will soon attach to Google Earth, so seniors can virtually visit neighborhoods where they lived, schools they attended, and places they visited, sparking further conversations with caregivers. Such virtual visits, quote, "can bring back a tremendous amount of joy, a tremendous amount of memories, and when the therapist or the other caregiver can work with that older adult and talk through things we see, we definitely see that it provides an uplift," end quote, Brickler said. The company has worked on the biggest complaints seniors in the study had about VR. The headsets were too heavy, the heat they generated made their foreheads sweat, and sometimes the experience created nausea, he said. The new headsets weigh about 6 ounces, 189 grams, instead of a pound, 454 grams. They have a built-in fan for cooling, and the videos aren't as jumpy. The findings that seniors in their 80s and 90s enjoy VR, less than those in their 70s, might lead to changes for them, such as requiring less neck rotation to see all of the scenery and making the visuals bigger, Moore said. Small changes can lead to heart health. Switching from an unhealthy diet and sedentary lifestyle to eating healthy and exercise can be daunting. In this expert alert, Juan Cardenas Rosales, MD, an internal medicine physician and medical director of the International Medicine Practice at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, shares small steps and one big one that can lead to a heart-healthy life. Taking the first step can be difficult, whether trying to eat a nutritious diet, exercise more, or both, Cardenas says. That is in part because people often set high expectations for themselves and try to reach them immediately, rather than approaching it as a process. Quote, "It is better to make these changes little by little and stay consistent than to make a sudden change that is difficult to maintain," end quote, Cardenas explains. Quote, "For example, don't start exercising 30 minutes a day 5 times a week, but start with 10 minutes every third day. Also, adjust your diet and each day lower your sugar consumption a little, your fat consumption, your salt, and so on, little by little. Start with small steps, but keep moving forward," end quote. Cardenas recommends gradually substituting healthier choices into your diet, such as fish, chicken, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and whole grains. Quote, "Drinking a lot of water is also important, at least 2 liters of water a day, and staying away from processed foods that are very high in certain types of harmful fats like trans fats," end quote, Cardenas says. There is one big change that Cardenas recommends making immediately. Stop smoking and avoid secondhand smoke, exposure to other people's smoke. Quote, "The moment one stops smoking, the risk of cardiovascular disease decreases," end quote, he says.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, February 17th, 2024. Religion. Parable of Sower is cautionary. Reverends Almendarez, Thompson, and Atkins say the Bible should be read in the right way. By Bob Campbell. Using agricultural language because his audience was familiar with it, Jesus told the parable of the sower to describe the 4 outcomes that result from exposure to the Word of God, all but one of them unfavorable, depending on the character of the reader or listener. The Reverends Catherine Almendarez, Isaiah Tunson, and Mike Atkins say the parable or story he told to impart a moral lesson is in Matthew 13, 1 through 23, and Luke 8, 1 through 15. Jesus discusses sowing seed on the wayside, in a stony place with no depth, among thorns, and in good soil, said the Reverend Almendarez, co-pastor of the Open Door Church. He is speaking about the Word of God being sown in the lives of people, Almendarez said. Some who have hardened their hearts are more interested in wickedness, so the word is of extremely limited effect in their lives. Some are simple and lack depth, not grasping the value of it, and they fall away during times of persecution. These may find joy in fellowship and participation, but they have never made the word a vital part of their daily lives. Some are dealing with so much life that Word of God sits on the shelf and doesn't produce good fruit. Finally, some are wise and welcome the Word into their hearts, follow its principles, and allow it to transform their lives. Citing Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Almendarez said, "The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Righteous seed should produce a righteous crop in all that we are and be a blessing of encouragement, positive influence, and a source of sustaining life to those around us, she said. Use what you have from the Lord to impact your sphere of influence. Be light to those around you. The Reverend Tunson, pastor of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, said the parable of the sower is a favorite of ministers because it represents the different conditions of people's hearts when they hear the word. The hard ground is the people who don't understand the message, Tunson said. When you don't understand, that gives the devil an opportunity to snatch the word away from you and keep you from growing. The rocky ground means that the message has been with you, but it has no roots and no connections, and you fall away. We have Christians who go to church, but fall away because of a financial situation happening in their lives. With the thorny ground, riches and pleasure choke out the word. Instead of giving God the credit, people say, "I have a nice car and house." The good soil is for those who hear the message and bear good fruit, not only in their lives, but also in other folks' lives. Study the Word of God daily and stay prayed up. You can't just come to church on Sunday and listen to the preacher and then not take the message and use it. Take it and apply it to your daily life and use it to help somebody else. Make disciples of other believers. The Reverend Atkins, pastor of Kingston Avenue Baptist Church, said the parable shows the way a lot of churches and church people are. They have ideas on the way things should be, and it's not always what God wants, Atkins said. Jesus is talking here about seed that is never going to accomplish what God wants, and about the things he wants us to accomplish. Satan doesn't want anybody to grow, so he clouds their minds with things that they personally want to do rather than what God wants them to do. Stay close to the Lord by staying in his word and don't depend on your own interpretation of what it says. Go to church and listen to the preacher and keep it straight that way. Atkins said Satan is prominent in the parable because he constantly works to keep people away from the actual truth. Satan pulled some of the angels away in heaven, so God had to cast him out, he said. We all need to make sure that we are good soil because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. When Emotions Attempt to Control Us, by William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. How often do you hear, "It's not what happens to us, but how we respond"? We know we will face trials in this life, so it only makes sense to prepare how we are going to react when they arrive. Since the way we perceive develops our thoughts and views, but what if our thoughts are wrong? The most important factor to prevent our emotions from controlling us is to realize we decide what we think about. When we bow down to our feelings, they become our master. The Bible demands for our mind to be renewed, which requires intense training and a passionate desire for personal transformation. Comprehending how we are mentally wired is critical to maintaining a healthy psychological state of mind. The many disorders of mental health can usually be traced to an imbalance of some sort, which causes the individual to be unable to perceive truth accurately or to resist being dominated by their feelings. Just because we are considered bright and intelligent does not mean we have an understanding of our personality. Have you ever thought that certain people did not like you or were trying to make it difficult for you? There is a chance you might be right, but what if you are wrong? What if you are just being paranoid? You are not the center of everyone's universe. Being hurt and offended originates from a powerful emotion of rejection. We all want to be loved and to be held in high esteem, right? But how do we act when we think someone is trying to avoid us? Our feelings are downright dangerous and can keep us on a path of anxiety. For the unrenewed mind, it usually does not take much to bruise and batter our ego. We might think we are fairly thick-skinned and can take a punch, but the temptation to wallow in depression and throw a pity party is just one negative thought away. If we choose to follow God's way of interpreting truth, instead of dwelling on the what-ifs, we can step over the landmines of doubt and fear and walk in His confidence. One of the most significant deceptions many experience is dwelling on oneself, always believing that someone or something is trying to derail their success, is using the victim mentality as an excuse. To clarify, a certain amount of self-love is needed for a healthy state of mind, but when someone is constantly fixated on themselves without regard to anyone else, there is a problem. When self is the topic of every thought and conversation, this creates an isolation, which leads to a delusional view of everything. Every emotion is connected to this selfish way of discerning life and depletes the soul of joy and peace. For those who crave to be acknowledged and respected at all times and do not receive it, the common response is to become angry and insulted. Many drive themselves to exhaustion, seeking approval, because they desire admiration, and in extreme cases can suffer from what is called delusions of grandeur. Maybe they never received affection as a child, or always felt shame and inferior when around others who were more accomplished. Jealousy and envy are powerful emotions and very deceptive. As they attempt to prove they are important and worthy of prominence, this commonly leads to even more heartache and disappointment. Whether real or imaginary, feelings of being ignored and rejected can lead to depression and often traced to issues of insecurity. The way to overcome the slavery of negative emotions is to change the way we think. We must pray and ask God to help us understand that tactics and strategies are being used against us to defeat us. Victory will not happen in the snap of the fingers, the same as we do not cut down a tree with one swipe of the axe. It might take hundreds of swings to chip away our tendencies to be controlled by our feelings, but with God's help, the tree will fall, and we can keep pressing forward in His name. Do not assume this will be the only tree, because there is a forest of temptations waiting to challenge us. We hear about having the victory, But until we allow our mind to be renewed from the carnal to the spiritual, we are spinning our wheels. The enemy will never stop influencing our emotions until we realize we can control our thoughts. On the net, BillyHollandMinistries.com. Play the Mind Game to Win by Tracy Villatoro, worship leader at Victory Church, Odessa. Most everyone knows this scripture, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Brothers and sisters, continue to think about what is good and worthy of praise. Think about what is true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. And do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do. And the God who gives peace will be with you. Now read this same scripture, but in The Message, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. The Message makes it stand out and come alive a lot more, doesn't it? First, we need to fill our minds with the things listed previously. We need to fill our minds with the best, not the worst. I am not saying that every person who fills their mind with the worst is a complainer, but rather every complainer fills their mind with the worst. We have all complained, and during those times we were filling our minds with the worst, such as thinking that nothing is going to work out right, feeling like everyone is against us, or believing that no one cares about us or is listening to us. Second, we need to meditate on these things. Look at each word above and meditate upon it. Think about what is true in your life that is good. Don't meditate on something negative or something that you are worried about. Meditate on beautiful things, not on ugly things. We need to be full of praise. Third, after filling our minds with good things and meditating upon them, now we need to put into practice, do what we have learned from the Lord. Instead of dwelling on bills that you cannot pay, fill your mind with scriptures about the provision of God. Meditate on the fact that He has always taken care of you, that He will never leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, 6. If all you can think about is how bad your boss treats you, or even your children, or husband, or wife, replace that thought with a different thought that is good. Start thanking and praising God that He loves you. Thank Him for the clothes, food, and job that you have. Read and meditate upon the Word day and night. Joshua 1, 8. Result, the Lord will give you peace. You will physically and emotionally feel better now that you are no longer thinking or meditating on bad or negative things. This is what makes you a mature spiritual person.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.